Hey everybody, it's Marvel Movie News. Today we are going to talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer. We're going to talk a little bit about this little bitty movie called Logan that may have changed the game. I don't know. We're going to talk about that too. We've also got some X-Men, Inhumans, Black Panther news. Just sit right there and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now... here's Popcorn Talks Marvel Movie News.
I always feel lost.
No, succinct, I think you got it.
Am I getting better, Oliver?
Yes.
I mean, this is week three for you.
Oliver confirms.
That's fun.
It was like informative but fun.
I judge
thank you.
90% less every week. That's my favorite part. So I enjoy you enjoying it. Because you used to get squirrely about it, and I'm always like, man, it's the best part.
Oh, man.
And now you love it.
I don't know, like this, like dialogue on camera, like I can handle, but
I like the
talking directly to the camera.
I like the big Colbert monologue feel, man. I love that, like, just talking. I love talking at people is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know. I
like to not have a conversation. I like to just be in control of it and not let the other person talk, man. Do you hear what I'm doing here?
Yeah, no, I'm familiar.
One-sided conversation.
We're all familiar with your unilateral talk.
This is how I live. Sorry, friends and family.
We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 121.
We're like, what's that, a palindrome?
Yeah, we are.
A numerical palindrome.
Okay, yes! Coke, and I owe you one. We are coming to you live from Alkali Lake.
Fitting, fitting.
Where we tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Squirrel us on subscribe. I said squirrel to us.
Squirrel us.
Squirrel on the mind.
All the squirrels.
What is up with you?
That's my wife. I was thinking about my wife and she loves squirrels. And I was like, all right. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/popcorntalk. You can also find us through their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk, or on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. And guys, if you could tweet a link out to of our show, I always mess this part up. This is the one tongue twister, and it's not even a tongue twister, really. If you'll tweet out a link to our show telling people about our live chat and that they should come join us and everything, Steven in the booth will retweet you.
I always tell people to look us up on YouTube on iTunes. That's my trick. I'm always like, look us up on YouTube. At iTunes, that's not how. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's the same thing. A lot of words.
Yes. And this is a different Steven that we've had before, but we still need to name him.
But we still need to name him.
We need to name a new Steven. So if you want to help us name him, hit us up in the live chat. Oliver will...
Captain Steve?
Captain
America? Captain Rogers?
I like that your first inclination is like, hey, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
But it's like, previously Doom was Doom.
Well, Doom, but he named himself.
Now Doom's a good guy. In the comics, now Doom's a good guy.
And and... Captain Rogers is kind of a bad guy.
Yeah, right?
You can call me former boss of Doom.
Former boss of Doom. The Sorcerer Supremer?
Supremier?
The new taco at Taco Bell. The Sorcerer Supremer.
Sup Premier.
All right, I'm Matt Key at The Matt Key. We're joined by Markeia McCarty at MARKEIMC. MCCARTY.
Yes, but there was an A after the I.
Did I miss an A?
Yeah.
It's a valid report.
All right, well, you do it.
MARKEIAMCCARTY.
All right. E-I-E-I-A-E-I-A.
Flawless.
You can spell your name. You can spell your name.
Flawless victory.
We also have Koyjandro at Koyjandreau. No Doom, but we have Colt Bedeau tweeting from the Star Jammer, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
We got Steven in the booth. Formerly the boss of Doom, and we got Oliver on the couch doing social for us.
Yay.
I'm watching y'all guys.
How's the live chat going? And how's YouTube? How are we doing?
It's blowing up. It's blowing up already.
Anyone saying hi to us?
Are they excited for Logan? And they want us to fast forward to that part.
I hope they all saw it. Like,
we're gonna
by the way, and we put that at the end of the show so that you can watch the whole show without having to worry about spoilers for that. So
yeah,
and that's why we're not burying the lead.
Yeah,
we're not burying.
Go watch it now.
But yeah, seriously.
Pause this, watch it, come on back. Gonna spoil some stuff. I'm just letting you know.
All right. We're gonna jump. Well, speaking of Logan, we're gonna jump into the X-Men TV show. Currently doesn't have a title. The team that they're building, don't know who it is.
Yeah.
It seems to just be like
an amalgamation of teams.
Yeah, like I think Matt Nix, the showrunner, is just like, I like this person, this person, this person. Let's just cram them on a team with like 7 or 8 new mutants that I've created, which I have a bit of a problem with, but you know, whatever.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
There's no prior source material.
It's just,
they don't know where to pull from.
We no, have. There's nothing to pull
They've
from.
Never read, I mean...
Nothing.
Like, I'm okay
Comics.
With, I'm okay yeah. with, like, maybe create, like, create the leads to be... Sure, they should be new. They should be... I get that. Like, I can get, like, their window characters. Maybe we don't want to necessarily attach to them, like, some weight that exists from canon. Like, the new characters, fine. Fine. But the rest of the team... You've got 60 years of material to pull from. Why create new? And maybe he hasn't. Maybe he hasn't.
Yeah.
We know we have Polaris and Blink. And then we've got two other people who haven't necessarily been defined. But one guy's name is Sam. So Sam Guthrie Cannonball. I'm crossing my fingers hard for them. He's the leader.
Makes sense.
What comes to mind to me is that you have 60 years. Why would you invent someone new when you have a positive association with these past characters that you already have a built-in? It's like having a built-in pilot.
Yeah.
Like, the problem with pilots is you have to fall in love with the new characters and the new actors playing them. When you have a pilot based off of pre-existing material, if you do it right, write it right, cast it right, source it right, you already have your pilot done because you already care about them. You already inherently have your audience. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
You know, the thing that I'm thinking is that maybe he knows how rabid we are when it comes to, you know, X-Men or mutants or anything in general. I mean, like, fans in general. So we can get pretty... let's say stern when it comes to how our characters are portrayed. So he might have wanted to circumvent that by saying, like, oh, well, these lead characters, I'm going to go ahead and just make up these to fit the powers, not realizing that, that's kind of worse.
Kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
Fox has been ignoring continuity for years. Don't keep it up.
Yeah.
Don't be continuous.
Well, yeah, let's not learn from our mistakes. Let's dive into them deeper. What if we call it an X-Men show and have no X-Men in it?
Brilliant! Let's just go harder.
Let's just mix up. Just lean into it.
We're running we're running in the wrong direction. Let's run harder in that direction.
This Logan movie and this Deadpool movie, they really love the source material. What if we ignore that? Go back to X-Men 3. Really dance in that realm.
Oh, no.
Thank you. Thank you, former boss of Doom. All right, well, let's get into the actual news. Natalie Allen Lind has been cast in the X-Men pilot. She will play one of the children. Lauren, who is described as smart, pretty, popular, organized, and already ahead on her college application, she is the model of a perfect kid. She is the daughter to Amy Acker, who will star as Kate Stewart, a woman who is struggling with her separation from her husband, Reed, who is True Blood Stephen Moyer, and her increasingly challenging teenage children. When her family situation takes a dark turn, she finds that she's stronger than she thinks. So Acker and Stephen Moyer playing the mom and the dad, so they're two of the main series regulars, with Natalie Allen Lynn and, I cannot remember the other kid's name, but another kid playing their son.
Is anybody else weirded out that Amy Acker's playing moms now? And she's like... You know, Angel and...
I'm not weirded out by it, just because, like, I've just always loved Amy Acker, so anytime I see her cast, I'm like, Amy Acker's in it? Oh, it must be good.
Oh,
time keeps happening.
I know, time keeps trucking on.
Every year they have is a year on us, too. It's moving at a linear rate, and their mom hit them. Well, yeah, Buffy is a while ago now, yeah. So that's, that's totally a thing.
Time
is
a flat circle.
Yeah. Here we are.
Like 15, 20 years ago. All right, a 25th anniversary, I think, actually, today.
Yeah, I think
or something like that.
Wait, something like that.
For Buffy?
For Buffy.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like
I'm ashamed I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's 20 years, maybe, but I think it might be 25,
But she's awesome.
Yeah, that can't be right. It's got to be 20. Yeah, otherwise, 25. I would be like in my 40s. And I'm not.
I feel like it's 15.
All right, we are parsing numbers.
Buffy TV news, y'all.
Sean Teal. He's on my run gem. He's the other kid. He will play Marcos Diaz, a.k.a. Eclipse. He is a natural rebel compelled by circumstances to cooperate with others. Marcos is a passionate and strong-willed fighter who sometimes lets his emotions overrule reason. His alter ego, Eclipse, possesses the ability to absorb and manipulate photons and is a newly created mutant for this expanded X-Men universe. So we get Sean Teal, the son. We get his powers. We don't get Natalie Allen Lynn's powers, but the rumor is that she also is a powered child. And they're the two mutants that go into hiding along with their mom and dad on the run with this new mutant group. And that's what I was talking about earlier. It's like, why make, like...
There aren't enough, you know, superheroes that have, they can manipulate photons.
Yeah, like
you know, that doesn't happen, Spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't happen, Pulsar. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
She should wear like a yellow jacket and go to the mall or anything.
Yeah.
That'd be weird. Why don't we have these characters we already know and love? It's, like, it's just, I get some of it, man. But.
Look, if they, I will say this, I am not the biggest fan of Jubilee in the comics, especially in the 90s. Like, she's grown on me a little bit. Did not like her in the X-Men cartoon. Grew to like her a little bit in the comics. Mm-hmm. If they cast Jubilation Lee in this X-Men TV show, I'd watch every episode. I would be like, yeah, she's... Yeah. Because here, while I don't necessarily like the character, she is... She signifies what the X-Men are.
Yeah.
They're kids. They're dealing with their powers. They're outcasts. But they just want to belong. They just want to be able to go to the mall and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were to put her in this show, I'd be like, well, they get it.
You know the tone. And you
have you know the tone. You get it.
Exactly.
Now, but what if she was a vampire?
Oh, jeez. Get out. Now here's the one that I got... Excited. I mean, Percy Hines White was also cast. He's a sensitive kid, a little bit of a loner who keeps to himself to avoid turmoil. Don't know. Okay, sure. We'll see. Like,
maybe he's Toad. We'll say Toad.
Yeah. He's Mortimer Toynbee. Goo, yeah. Know the name. Emma Dumont was cast as Polaris.
That's exciting. Okay.
And yeah. I think that's and look cool. And like she's just a wee lass.
And she's got such a cool face.
A wee lass is she. I just like ostracized everyone in Scotland and Ireland.
And Ireland, they were
always like, "Don't ever do that again."
You're not welcome in the aisles now, man.
Yeah, I'm never welcome there. Oh, get out! I don't even know what that is. That
makes
was awful.
It worse.
That kind of sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get out!
Good old.
Get to the chapel.
Get out! Now your luggage.
Ah, the Dr. Octopus days.
Oh, that was so fun. All right, so they describe Dumont as will take on the role of Lorna Dane, Polaris, strong-willed, brave, and loyal mutant who has the ability to manipulate magnetism. Mm. We don't have a lot of time to spend on this because we need to get moving so we can talk about Logan and Guardians trailer, but Polaris.
I mean, she's a great character that doesn't get any modern love. She had like a heyday in the late 80s, early 90s. She's got a rich history of family in the X-Men. Like, she's... You know, the Havoc storylines are always fun because like with Havoc and then she's like related to Magneto. There's a lot you can do with that character that can be both canon and not canon, but I don't know why they'd have characters that are not canon mixed with characters that are so integral at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, what if we...
It's just weird.
What if we acknowledge we read the comics and then also ignore we read the comics at the same time?
You know what that's like? That's like having a handful of Skittles and being like, I'm going to put M&M's in there because
they
look the same.
That's exactly what that's like.
So
which
that's
what X-Men Origins Wolverine tasted like. They're doing that.
So there you go. That's what it is.
You just broke me because that is what it's like.
Yeah.
I can't...
Right?
Now, every single time I watch that, I'm going to be like, these M&M's are delicious. What is this Skittle doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Logan was a big king-sized bag of M&M's.
Oh, man. And it was every flavor of M&M all at once. Oh, man, it's so good. All
right,
we're
going to
talk about that later.
Right?
Okay.
No, but they've got, like, the crisps. Oh, okay. They've got the peanuts. They've got the peanut butter.
You thought the colors were different? Like, yeah, the brown, the red, the green.
I'm telling you.
Those red flavors.
Green M&M's.
Yellow tastes the best. I really like the yellow flavor.
Everyone knows the blue flavor's the best. Can I have some more blue, please?
I like to sort them.
Love that blue.
Weird episode today, guys.
This is without coffee, by the way. Like, I haven't had coffee since, like, 10 a.m. All right, let's move over to the Inhumans, where I am so excited for this show.
Like, oh, it's going to be...
Like, legit excited.
Badass.
And they're doing, like, a 10-episode, like, mini-season, like... Mm-hmm. Which I think allows them to make every single episode that much better. They can put that much more money behind it. Yeah. They're filming at least the first two in IMAX. Like this is shaping. Like, I'm excited about it. So, we got Ken Leong. Is it Leong? Leong? Leong?
Ken Leong?
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 I don't want to mispronounce it and, like...
Yeah. L-E-U-N-G. If someone in the chat can give us phonetic, that'd
but,
be awesome.
He was the character from Lost that Jeff Snyder at the Wrap was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, that was a day or two later. Mm-hmm. He is playing Scooby-Doo-Boo Karnak. Karnak is easily like a top 15 character for me, up there with Black Bolt. Like, I love Karnak and Black Bolt together. Black Bolt can't talk. But Karnak can hear his thoughts and talk with him. So, like, I've read some panels where you just hear what Karnak is saying. I'm just like, yes, that's the best. Like, it sounds like he's having a conversation with himself.
It's like Groot.
Yeah, it's a Groot.
Like Groot and Rocket knows, and like Rocket's our translator by way of,
Nice.
That's
exactly.
How and this guy, Ken Leong's incredible.
He looks incredible. Like, he's going to kill it.
What else do we know him from besides Lost, which I did not watch? Sorry.
Oh, he was in Star Wars. He was in one of the Star Wars films.
Wait, was he really?
Which Star Wars? Chat room. You know, fill me in on that.
Yeah,
for,
chat room.
For whatever, because his face is so familiar.
Yeah, he's hyper familiar. Yeah,
he's so many things.
He was in, right. He was in The Last Stand, I believe.
Yeah, he was. We don't like to talk about it.
Oh my God, sorry. He was the one with the weird spikes, right?
Sorry, y'all.
Do you mean the Stephen King? The Last Stand?
X-Men The Last Stand.
No, the X-Men The Last Stand.
Did you really confuse him with Donnie Yen?
Was it what?
Is he Donnie Yen?
No, he's not. I just
Was Donnie Yen the one who was in?
No, because that's the one in Star Wars.
No, this kid's in X-Men 3, not in Star Wars.
X-Men The Last Stand.
Yes, he was also in Star Wars The Force
Awakens.
What's
something recent besides Lost that...
He was in Rush Hour.
Oh, he's
in
awesome.
Rush Hour.
Yeah, Rush Hour is probably...
That's it. That's where I know him from.
Oh, that's funny.
He was awesome.
And, I mean, Karnak is my favorite Inhuman, and this actor is great. He's one of those guys that pops up and everything. Like, he was in, like... In the 90s, he was in, like, Red Dragon, and then Saw, like, back-to-back, and, like...
Okay.
Vanilla Sky. He's in lots of stuff.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Let's Scooby-Doo-Boo-Boo-Boo-Boo. His character is Karnak, Black Bolt's cousin. His power, if you can call it, and like Warren Ellis has kind of like played with this a little bit and made it seem like maybe he's actually, he is an Inhuman, but he never went through Terra Genesis for like religious reasons or something, and he actually just trained his mind to be able to do this, but I prefer him as an Inhuman who went through Terra Genesis and actually got this power.
Well, yes, because then that makes him an Inhuman.
Yeah. His power is that he has an ability to see the weakness in everything, whether that is your argument, whether that is your upbringing, your character, your personality, or just like he can tap a rock with a finger and make it break. Like, that's his power.
Awesome.
And that's a mate. Like, he cannot be defeated. If he can get to you, you can't beat him because he, like, can knock you down with one punch or a word. Like, right. Your mother hates you. Oh my God, does she? I know. Like
Anson Mount and Ken Young being cast is me being excited for the Inhumans.
Yeah,
I'm all in.
Yeah,
yeah, I like this casting a lot. And that power kind of reminds me of my dad. He's a chef. No, no, no. I love my dad. My dad's awesome. No,
you can't understand the giggle, though.
What a upbringing you just alluded to.
Let me finish. No, he's a professional chef. So, that's like, awesome. And has been all his life. But you cannot take him to another restaurant because he will tell you. He'll be like, yeah, this was previously frozen. Yeah, this is from a can.
That's not good.
Yeah, but otherwise than that, he's awesome.
Let's jump up. Now, I'm not familiar with this actress at all, Serinda Swan. Yeah. She's cast as Medusa.
I
have no idea.
I did the Graceland after show at AfterBuzz TV, and she was one of the characters, Paige, in that show.
Yeah.
She has a really wide range. They wrote her into kind of a corner where she was a little whiny, but she is a great actress, and she pulls off... she was a secret agent who pulled off the very like coquettish look to go undercover as like Lady of the Night. No, she's pretty versatile, but I think this is a good casting, to be perfectly honest.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I know nothing about her.
I'm not familiar. I mean, mine was Lucy Liu for Medusa, so, and obviously I think she's kind of busy.
Yeah, a little busy.
She's a little busy.
So Medusa's power, is like, when I first read about Medusa as a kid, I was like, that's kind of like...
What, her hair?
Her hair. I was like, all right, like, I guess. But like, okay. And even as a kid, I was like, I feel like that might be a little sexist. Like, her powers and her hair, you know? She's like, all right. But then when you see what she can do with it, and like, I was just like, oh, she's terrifying, actually. Like, because like, she can grow or shrink her head of hair as much as she needs. All of her hair are like as strong as steel, basically, and she can wrap you and crush it. Like, she's got like 100,000 steel boa constrictors on her head that she can use to murder you with, and she's like, "Oh God!"
I'm excited to see that in motion. I'm excited to see that.
How is it going to translate? Yeah. Like, that's like, what is the budget? Like,
it's gotta
crazy.
Be crazy. I hope IMAX is giving them like $100 million.
I don't want it to be too like stringy, too octopusy. Like, that's the character I'm most excited about to see.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No pressure, Saranda.
No pressure from
over in the chat. She was Zatanna on Smallville.
Cool.
I love Smallville, man.
Smallville was fun.
Smallville was so good.
Let me read this quote real quick. First of all, Scott Buck said, Serinda Swan brings a real elegance as well as a sense of great inner strength and fierce determination to the role of Medusa. And then I also want to point out Jeff Loeb said of Ken Leung, Ken brings both wisdom and power to the role that no one else can match. His Karnak will be awesome. So cool. We're excited about that. Finally, we have the rest. All like they were like, It felt very much like the first season of Gilligan's Island, like the theme song where they're like, here's all these people and the rest. And then like the professor and Marianne were like, hey, we're part of the show too.
Important.
Like, yeah, we're kind of integral to every single scene, like every episode, right? So like they changed it in the second season. That's right. You're learning about Gilligan's Island here, kids.
Yeah, for those that don't know about it, it's worth a Google.
It's worth a Google.
It is.
Worth a Google. But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like how the theme song was like the in later seasons was like the professor and Marianne.
It got longer because it had to.
Yeah, but like in the first season they're like, and the rest.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that's not very
so there's
polite.
Gilligan and
there's
Skipper
a royal family. They're all royal.
Movie
give
star.
Them name time. Yeah.
The rest.
The rest.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
But that's what it kind of felt like. It was like, here's this person, here's this person, here's this person, and here's Gorgon and Triton and these guys too.
Yeah.
But also, that being said, like, Ken, Anson Mount, Ewan Rion, who's playing Maximus, and Serinda, all kind of bigger names, and then everyone else I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I'm sure, you know.
I'm sure they're great. Yeah, like, and I'm not saying anything bad. Yeah, I'm sure. But just not as familiar with them. So let me go through the list. We've got, I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm so sorry, entire world.
After he says it, chat room, please give us the phonetic.
Yeah, please do. But I'm gonna do my best. Ime Ikwakakur as Gorgon, who is a member of the royal family. He's the leader of the... Adelan military.
Cool.
He has hooved feet that he can use to stomp to shake the earth. Sweet. Like he can kind of create localized earthquakes. Isabel Cornish is Crystal. Crystal is the youngest. She's a sister to Medusa. Mm-hmm. She is hyper powerful. She's actually like an elemental. She's like Avatar, the Last Airbender. Like she's like, I can control fire, earth, wind, and water. Like she's Captain Planet without heart, basically. Okay. But she's totally got heart. She's great.
Cool. And
Mike Moe as Triton. I think this dude played Ryu in a Street Fighter.
Oh. Really?
Fan film. Because I was looking up pictures of him, and I saw Mike Moe attached to this who looked like exactly like... I didn't look deeper. It could be two Mike Moes who look relatively
similar
to each other.
Street Fighter Assassin's Fist, correct.
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Was it him versus Ken? Because I always love that.
And it was Street Fighter Resurrection, so in both of them.
Okay.
That dude is
cool.
Built.
Nice.
That dude is
then,
a built.
Since he's going to be mainly Nakey,
totally
we would want a 9-pack in there.
Yeah.
That Namor 9-pack, very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. Well, he's swimming underwater.
A lot of cardio.
You know, his abs got to do this. Yeah.
Very important.
Everyone gift this. Everyone do a gift of that. So I can send that to, I don't know, someone.
Hi, Brittany.
Hello, Brittany. my wife. Sonia Balmoris as Oron. Oron is the head of the Royal Guards of Adelan, capable no-nonsense woman, fiercely loyal to the King of Adelan. There she is. I actually don't know a lot about her. I don't know a lot about her. I'm going to admit my ignorance there.
Yeah.
If the chat wants to tell me about her, I'll tell her.
Can
tell us. But yeah,
great thing about the universe, well, MC universe and everything, she's someone's favorite out there.
I hope so.
Someone adores her.
God, like, I'm looking at her, I'm like, I know, like, she looks so familiar.
She looks like the character that just came back in the Uncanny Inhumans that had died, and then she's the one that took, I told you about last week, Black Bolt's power briefly. She dies,
she
comes
is?
Back. She looks like that character. It might not be her, but that looks like the character. Remember the reader brings her back?
Yeah.
The reader reads about her life, she manifests back. That'd be cool.
I do know that they're using some of the new humans,
the new,
as they call it.
Yeah, so...
In new humans. But yeah, I feel like Maximus may have accidentally killed her, or Black Bolt maybe accidentally killed her, like, early on in the Uncanny Inhumans run by Charles Soule, but... Man, I think she had the power to, like, hear really far.
Mm-hmm.
And could,
well, she's got that, some ears.
She's got the
her.
Ears, but I think she could hear any conversation on Earth or something like that. But that's purely from memory.
That's
and
a
I might be getting
power.
It
wrong.
Apparently that is her, the one that the reader brought back to life.
Really?
Okay, I love that arc. That is my favorite Inhumans arc.
Really?
Cool.
Awesome.
It's got me to read more Inhumans. I liked it so much. So if that's this character, that's awesome.
Nice. Thanks, chat room.
Yeah, thank you, chat room. We've got Ellen Waglom as an undisclosed character. She is smart, intense, focused, so focused that oftentimes social skills take a back seat. Her job at a private aerospace company is her life, second only to her passion for all things space and lunar. She's primed to be swept up in an adventure. So in film and in television, like just in sort of like narrative in general, a lot of times if you have like a world that you're not familiar with, but it has like a lot of rules to it, especially like sci-fi kinds of stuff, you'll have what you call a window character. That window character is, sir, you can look through the window into the world through their experiences. So like...
For those that want a hands-on example of that, Orange is the New Black, the main character that nobody can stand.
Piper.
Yeah, exactly.
She's the eyes into the window of that world.
Exactly. So like you and narratively you pretty much like have to have a character like that. You have to have some device that teaches you all the rules. So what better device than a character that you can kind of get behind and learn through their eyes? So I feel like that's who she's going to be. I feel like she loves...
That seems about right.
Private aerospace. Right. She loves space and lunar. Atalanta's on the moon at some point. Maybe it will be. Maybe it won't be here. Don't know. But I think she's doing some research of some... She's doing some research of some sort.
Right.
And discovers the Inhumans and gets pulled into their world and learns of them and, you know, it ends up being their teacher for what humanity is. So that's my guess.
But next and most importantly...
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Lockjaw as a 2,000-pound canine companion who can teleport to any place. I think it's the universe, actually.
Look at that dog stash.
I'm so excited that he's in these...
I think it's actually anywhere in the universe. I know it's anywhere on Earth. But I think that, like, even within the solar system or something, because I know that they use him to go back and forth from the moon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he's real big in those production, like,
Oh, yeah. Did we get the production photos, Oliver? I can't remember.
We did not.
Okay.
They're paparazzi-ish.
A little.
Encourage the vultures being horrible.
But seeing a giant blue stand-in... Where it's like, my fear was like, oh, they'll probably do it like, you know, like, you know, like two or three feet tall.
No.
It'll be a big dog, but not a bit like a car, like a Volkswagen bus. And it's just like, oh, they're doing it.
Yeah, dinosaur
and
big.
Like, he's like the shape of him and everything else. He looks exactly like Lockjaw. I was so excited. And he's a bulldog, and bulldogs are my favorite.
Fans of the show, if you've never seen Matt interact with a bulldog.
Yeah, him and bulldogs.
He's going to lose his... There's going to be 2 hours of Matt.
Sorry, that's a website that...
What kind of website, Steven?
You know already, Coy.
Well, that is what happens when Matt sees a bulldog. But no, Matt and bulldogs is literally... It's going to be like 2 hours of Matt missing the movie because he's just going to be like slobbering over a bulldog having just been on screen.
So cute, though.
Yeah, Brittany got to see, like... witness firsthand one of our trips down to San Diego. We ran into a couple that was walking a bulldog next.
One outside.
Yeah, I remember one.
It was one outside.
Oh yeah, a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
and you like lost yourself. You were just gone.
Yeah, it was
so cute.
No, me and bulldogs. Like it's a weakness. It's
if you
a
think
true
Matt
weakness.
Loved Doctor Strange, right? You see him with bulldogs.
I have the picture showing. I can't blow him up on this, but on the TriCaster, the fans see him in
cool
bigger.
That's
size.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's huge.
Yeah. There's Anson Mount as a Black Bolt, so that's fun.
Yeah.
And it just was like, hey, they're filming. Yay. Me and bulldogs, man. There was a couple down in San Diego at Comic-Con, and I literally like fell to the sidewalk to play with their dog, leaving Brittany to explain my love of bulldogs
to the owners.
Like, didn't even make eye contact with them. I was like, bulldog, fell to the floor, and Brittany was like, my boyfriend loves bulldogs.
Inhumans, Matt's new favorite property.
My new favorite. It's always been one of my favorites. All right, Iron Fist stars tease potential spinoffs. So they were. Talking with the Nerdist, I think, and Jessica Henwick, who plays Colleen Wing, said, Colleen goes on a pretty crazy journey alongside Danny. She's very private, so I don't think she really starts to take down her walls until halfway through the show. You learn more about her background, how she ended up in New York. Then, Finn Jones, who plays Danny Rand, poked his head in and said, going back to the Daughter of the Dragons thing, so let me put that into context. They refer to... I think she refers to herself as the Daughter of the Dragon whenever she goes into those fight rings. I think that's kind of her name. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure. That's my theory right now. So when he says, going back to that Daughter of the Dragons thing, I think it'd be awesome to see a television series with the heroes for hire and the Daughters of the Dragon working together to take down crime.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have to make anything up with it. Because it kind of already exists.
What if we invent a new character, though, that's similar and has the same powers?
How about we don't, Coy?
Call her an X-Men.
Let's call her a sibling of the Phoenix.
Put her in there.
Call her a sibling of the Griffin.
Yeah, but I think everybody's on board with having Daughters of the Dragon. Let's have Misty Knight and Colleen Wing. That's let's have amazing. That. What was that, Nightwing Limited?
Fearless Defenders?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. But seriously, let's have it.
I'm all.
You know, I'm all for it.
I think Mr. Knight might be involved.
Yeah, you think? Let's have a niece of the Griffin. Let's have a niece of the Basilisk.
I know you're just holding that. Goodness. Waiting just to unleash that pun.
Daughters of the Dragon, in case you don't know, are Misty Knight and Colleen Wing. They team up to fight crime. Heroes for Hire, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage. They team up to fight crime. The two teams end up crossing over with each other late 70s, early 80s, having adventures together.
Yeah, and they're not always on the same side, but then they are.
No.
You know, are no spoilers. That was from the 70s.
Yeah.
45-year-old spoilers.
I don't know. The Titanic
sinks. He was a ghost the entire time.
Would have got away with the tube if it weren't for you darn kids. Yeah, that makes no sense. I'm sorry, everybody. Dr. Strat, dude, do you guys want to talk any more about Iron Fist or anything else?
No, good.
All right. But that is, we threw that into the rundown because we're excited about that. Does the chat say anything about it?
No, that Misty and Colleen, they should team up and maybe add Trish there? Hellcat?
Oh, Trish Walker? Yeah. Of course.
Maybe they can. No problem. Heroes for Hire.
She's earned her place.
Live chat, I know you want us to get to Logan, but it's very important that we cover the news first. For those that haven't seen Logan, we're not stalling on purpose. We really have.
No, they're going to see the movie right now.
That's what I'm saying. We will. It's just got to be at the end, so those that haven't seen it can still get their news.
Delayed apologies. Gratification is all the sweeter.
It's true.
So, but
you know what? I liked Logan. Did you like Logan?
Yes.
Spoiler alert, I loved Logan.
No. Just kidding. Did you believe me?
There's a little teaser. We all like Logan. Okay.
Okay.
Doctor Strange, director, reveals possible villains for the sequel. Talking to Twitter, he said that he was asked, what villains would you like to see Doctor Strange take on next? And he said, possibly Nightmare, but he's a tricky villain to get right. Can't tell the story of Doctor Strange without eventually dealing with Clea. That last part's actually why I wanted to keep it in there, because that's a really kind of, from my memory, he wanted to make Nightmare the villain of the first film. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Feige was like, you can't, you're trying to cram in so much, and now you're going to try to tell people that their dream's another dimension? You're stacking a little bit too much exposition in there, Scotty D. And he was like, oh, maybe you're right. So
I love Nightmare as...
Yeah.
Because that's all the fun of Mysterio without the fishbowl head.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can do all the same cinematic majesty without having to explain why the guy's fishbowl in his head, which I respect. Yeah. I think it's great.
Totally respect. Yeah.
Totally works for me.
Yeah.
And then Mysterio's kind of... Well, you know, he's kind of terrifying in his own right.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Later Mysterio.
And and you can make the madness work in today's day and age, having a movie stunt special effects guy be in a movie stunt special effects guy.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. And then MPH fan casting someone at. But I think also MPH would work for Nightmare.
Oh, yeah, he totally would. He'd be great for that, actually.
He's come up the last few weeks, so I was just thinking that, Nightmare, I think, is the villain for the next Doctor Strange, would give us the furthering of scope.
He's got, that weird intersection of charm, but can be also, charming, sinister, and maybe you don't know what's behind, in Gone Girl, oof.
Yeah, exactly that flavor.
Where you're just like, I don't know what you're thinking, but...
Kind of like Tenet in Jessica Jones.
Oh,
where
yes.
it's just like,
very similar.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'd like more of that flavor beyond just Barney Stinson, because I love Barney Stinson's love of suits, but I want more. So.
Yeah, I get you. Nightmare would be fun, but Clea, we've heard, her name toss around a few times, but I feel like this is the first time we've heard Scott Derrickson say, the sequel's you've got to eventually deal with Clea. And, I don't know. I get excited about that, because, she's this weird, extra-dimensional entity who's the niece to Dormammu. It's just what?
Dormammu's got siblings. They get it on.
Yeah. Yeah. So weird. So weird. All right. Let's jump over to Infinity. There's not a lot to say. I'm just excited about it. We need to get to Logan and Guardians. So forgive us for moving on, but tweet at me if you have specific questions, and I will answer specifically.
Vague hype.
Yeah,
but that's exciting. We don't even have a date.
No,
for all we know, there's not going to be a Doctor Strange sequel, but there will.
You'll will into existence, man. That's
not
mine of the people.
No. I meditate on it every night.
But before we get to the third one, we'll have a Storm solo movie.
From Fox?
Please.
Yes.
You know what? Fox has proven
Storm
they can do
solo
that.
Movie.
I actually want to see
all
that
All they
now.
Have to do is give me a teaser trailer of just her this, and then she opens her eye, and it's just white. That's all they
have
to give me right now.
You know what? Here's another Logan teaser for all of you. 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, meh. Post-Logan, I'm like, I want to see it.
Yeah.
I definitely want to see it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Do the same thing you did with Logan. I want to see it.
Logan was so good, I want Fox to keep the X-Men.
We'll get to that.
As we're getting closer, we're teasing you. Can you tell who just said that? Infinity Wars, this is madness, if this is true.
Yeah, it is.
Infinity Wars' rumored budget for two films is $1 billion. Look at that.
That's like a whole.
I was so unprepared for a funny ass.
Nice. Nicely done.
Look at that. Okay.
This is like a Dr. Evil type thing.
$1 billion.
In-house editing is not lost, folks. That was some magic.
Well done, Doom's former boss. Dan Caffey. And for those of you who don't know who Dan Caffey is, let me put this into some perspective for you.
Okay.
Dan Caffey is the son to Truett Caffey, who created the Chick-fil-A chain. And Dan Caffey is now the president and CEO of Chick-fil-A.
He's got some money.
He is also the president and part owner to Pinewood Studios Atlanta. So he's like, he's president of two major gigantic things.
Okay.
He says at a African American Film Critics Association dinner that they currently have a film on their lot that is going to be a $1 billion budget. But he couldn't say what that was
because of contracts. What else could it be?
Right.
So, what other movie allows that kind of money?
I mean, just think of the actors alone.
Yeah.
Well, they were going to remake Sex and the City.
Oh, Jesus. Stop.
I'm telling you.
Inappropriate jokes.
I would
tell you to get out, but then our show would turn off. So, Steven, stay there, but stop with the jokes, I guess. Keep them coming. You're great. That's crazy. Okay, so
A billion dollars.
If I remember, I didn't write any of this down. I'm going to go from memory from helping out with the Screen Junkies thing that they did a couple of days ago where we talked about it. I think the highest budget was Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which was around $327 million to make.
That's a lot of money.
And I think it made a worldwide gross of around $1 billion.
Okay.
All right, so let me put all of this into perspective. So if it's 300, let's say it's $300 million to make,
yeah.
You now have to add to that in order to assure that you're going to get that money back. The formula is that you add 50% of your budget to that budget for what's called print and advertising, or P&A.
So that's 150 more.
So
150 million more. So 450 million negative costs. Doesn't count pre-production or anything else, but you're now looking at about a $450 million negative cost that you have to recoup in order to make your investors happy and keep making movies, right?
Okay.
It's Disney. They're fine. They can take the loss. Giant studios can. But they have a $450 million... This is all, like, estimated, presumable. I don't even have the numbers
in front
of me.
And this is for Pirates.
This is for Pirates.
Yeah.
That is, to date, the most expensive film that ever been. There are some other numbers about, like, Avatar being $400 million, stuff like that. Yeah. None of it's confirmed. We do know that Pirates cost that much.
Right. Do we know how well it did?
I don't remember. If you can look at boxofficemojo.com and type in Pirates Stranger Tides, you'll probably find it.
Cool.
And tell us what it did worldwide, because that's what we're interested in. Now, Pirates merchandising, park stuff, food, licensing, all that stuff, that all does gangbusters as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't know what those numbers are. We can only look at the cinematic stuff. So, the first Avengers film made, I think, $1.4 billion worldwide. Age of Ultron made a couple million less than that.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Like, I think it was like $1.3 billion.
Right.
And both of those movies cost $225-$250 to make.
Still a lot of money.
So they very well made back. They recouped costs twofold. So they're putting, if they're making both of these movies at the same time, then it's presumably they're not spending $2 billion.
No, that's probably
$500 million.
Yeah.
That adds up. Probably 30-40% of it's going to above the line costs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of front of the line cast. Like, that's a lot of bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of principal actors to play.
The posters are going to have to be longer.
Yeah.
Just to put the names in there.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, above the line means all the creative talent, basically. So principal actors, director, and writers is pretty much it. Like sometimes like there's a little switcheroo or whatever, but typically below the line will be cinematographers, editors, camera people, stage crew, secondary actors, stuff like that. So above the line budget on this film is probably out the roof because you've got to pay Robert Downey Jr., who's probably getting a good 50% of what everyone is making. Combined.
Yes.
You know, like if they're like, well, we've got a $100 million actors budget, Robert Downey's getting 50% of that.
Which is,
crazy. Which is insane.
They just hand him islands now.
Yeah.
Cash no longer counts.
Yeah, they're like,
we've deeded you this island in the Caribbean,
Downey. We no longer have money, Robert Downey Jr. How about the moon? We purchased it. We can give it to you.
Just give him like certificates with his face on it and a number written on it. Like,
here you go. You can spend this anywhere.
Here's one Downey.
Here's one Downey.
I would like to buy a hotel. That's what's 100 million. I've got a Downey. Well, good here.
That's four hotels, sir.
So anyway, I just wanted to put that in perspective. That's a lot of money.
It's a staggering
amount. But here's the deal. They have proven that the other two movies made over $1 billion apiece.
Right. At a cost of not negligible, so but a quarter.
We can assume that this movie's very easily going to do at least that. Mm-hmm. But considering that it's the end of this phase, a lot of people are probably going to want to go see this unless Logan ruins the game for Marvel, which we'll talk about later. Another preview. then they're pretty much guaranteed to make $2 billion, maybe $3 billion.
Which is the
Of their $1 billion investment.
That's like how much countries' incomes are. Like that's like
a national GDP.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like not even a third world, like a first world country's GDP is like a budget.
Yeah.
It's like, can Greece buy a share of this?
Yeah, can we free Tibet with the Avengers?
Yeah. You know what? I live chat, do me a favor. Look up the average GDP of every country in the world and tell me
which country is the
Like, tell me where $3 billion lies. Because my estimation is that the two films combined will make about $3 billion, maybe $3.5.
But, Oliver, did you get the...
Yes, worldwide for Pirates Stranger Tides, got $1,045,713,802.
So about $1.5 billion for a $450 million. So they made their money back almost three times over.
Right.
So, anyway, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Speaking of rich nations.
Black Panther. And also Atlanta.
Yeah, that's the other film that's filming there. So, there were some people like, what if he's talking about Black Panther? He's not talking about the Black Panther.
No, they would not spend $1 billion on Black Panther.
They're not spending $1 billion.
I would love if they did.
Yeah.
That's not a reality.
Into Wakanda. Atlanta is now Wakanda.
Atlanta's Wakanda. I'm moving to Atlanta, by the way.
So am I.
Confirms we're moving to Atlanta.
Hey.
So, now, Markia, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I'm actually not as familiar with the Angela Bassett story as you are.
Okay. You mean like Angela Bassett in general? This
who's
goddess?
Angela Bassett?
This goddess who's also a vampire?
Not saying that at all. Angela Bassett is training with Corey Callier for Black Panther.
Yes.
I know you are very excited about this.
Yes,
and I
want to
hear your take on it.
Because she, well, for one, she's an amazing goddess. She's also 58. You cannot tell that by looking at her. And she is training. 58? She's 58 years old. And she is training like 5 days a week with this. This is the same trainer that trained Michael B. Jordan for Creed.
For Creed.
And he is also training Michael B. Jordan. They are on set together. They are getting... Sorry, Hulk.
Knock it down, Hulk. Take it, Hulk.
Take it, Hulk. And they are training like this, like training like crazy while they're also filming on set. And that she's Ramonda, which is she's the father. She's the mother of. She can play whatever she wants.
You're right.
Yeah, she's T'Chaka's second wife. Also is mother of
adopted,
Wakanda,
but adopted mother of T'Challa.
Yeah, but she's the mom.
She's mom.
And she does. Doesn't play. She's a fierce ruler. She is absolutely amazing. And then the fact that and I guess when I was picturing Ramonda, I saw her being more covered and garbed and everything. But the way that Angela Bassett's training, they might put her out in the field. They might have her.
She's the queen. She should be. She should be regal and poised and ready. I mean, it's Angela. You don't cast Angela Bassett for the shadows. You put her on the front.
I'm seeing like a general position on a field. That is a very real possibility.
That would be amazing.
I don't like about this casting. The only thing is that the Storm Solo movie should star Angela Bassett. That's the only negative. Is I know. Since Wizard Magazine, I have dreamed of Angela Bassett as Storm.
I know. She's absolutely amazing. She was Storm back in the day. She could be Storm now.
Can you imagine? Just not... Like, that's what I've always seen.
Yes, but so I've imagined so many times, Coy. So many times.
And my mom says you can stay with her in Georgia when you go to live there in Wakanda.
Thank you, Stephanie. Totally do that.
Old Woman Storm, Spider Geronimo.
Old Woman Storm.
Old Woman Storm.
Could do it.
I love it.
Could do it.
We've never seen the Young Woman Storm movie. Like we've had her in X-Men. She's never had her solo. But let's give her Old Woman Storm. Yeah.
Come on. Go over very Why not? Well.
I mean, man, with Storm, like, she spans all of these different storylines. All of these different crossovers. You could do a trilogy with her and you would make bank because you have a starving fandom for a Storm anything.
Queen, goddess, leader, X-Men, teacher. Like, she's all of the things, and
she's
yet...
all of the things.
She has not had more than 20 minutes of screen time.
Oh, you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
And we're back.
Every week.
The same thing happens to everything else. But, all right, we've got to move on. Okay. I do not want to cut you off on Storm.
No. Yes, no, I understand.
But you have anything else?
Yes, really quick, just so that we know how Black Panther is going, like the bonding that is happening with that. Two of the leads, is Michonne from Walking Dead. Oh, my God, I can't
remember. Guerrera?
Yeah.
Danae Guerrera.
Her and Tupita Nyong'o, they just threw conjoined birthday parties, and they had a Coming to America-themed birthday party. This is how they were bonding on this set. And this is awesome. I love this so much. And also, my dad's favorite movie in the world. Thank you. Coming to America.
That's God
let your soul
We're getting to Eric LaSalle. I think that's really cool. And theme parties are always so fun.
Oh my God, and it's gorgeous. And they nailed it. I haven't looked at any pictures. Look at the pictures online.
Oh,
they nailed it.
Oh, that's so awesome. All right. We want to talk to you about Guardians and Logan, but first we need to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Blue Apron.
Ooh, food.
Yeah, we get to talk about food. You've already brought up your dad. Yeah. Now we're talking about...
Now, if he eats these meals, what are his opinions? Because he's going to make the ingredients, and they're fresh.
He's going to love it because I make it for him.
Oh. Yeah. But he will also love it because it's fresh ingredients.
Exactly.
Perfectly portioned meals and such like that. Mm-hmm. Let me just read off of this real quick. You have some facts. They are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Good to know. They achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Some of their featured upcoming meals are salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli.
Ooh.
I'll eat anything with broccoli. Fun fact, I'll eat anything with broccoli. I love broccoli. It's one of my favorites. Pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips. I'll also eat any chili. I love chili. It's one of my favorite foods.
Will you eat it with broccoli?
You know what? I'm in.
Sounds great.
I'm in. You may have to season a little bit different, but I do it. Spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Ooh. Sounds delicious. So let me. Here's why you should be looking into Blue Apron. They're affordable, less than $10 per person per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You have a variety of new recipes each week. It's not just like, here's 10 recipes for the month. It's each week. You get 10 new, a variety of new recipes. Or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. So you're constantly getting new flavors. Mm-hmm. It's easy to make. Everything takes 40 minutes or less. Their freshness is guaranteed. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. With shipping, free shipping by blueapron.com/marvel. Love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/marvel.
We do it. Nice. My girlfriend brings the boxes into the studio. And
oh yeah.
It's actually kind of fun because she cooks it right there with us
in the studio here.
Yeah, like literally we have the all.
So that's what she's doing.
It shows you like what you need for each recipe. So it's really easy to just kind of like. Set it up, cook it up, and pretty quickly you have a meal that's not like eating out, and you don't have to go to fast food. So it's really convenient. It's really good.
It's changed my Pharaoh game.
Heyo.
So I've got like six Marvel onesies, and I think we need a Marvel cooking show, is what I'm saying. Blue apron, Marvel onesies, in the studio, seems like a dream come true.
I like it.
Everything must be cut with Logan Claus.
Of course.
Well, speaking
of Logan.
Blue
apron, send us food for that Marvel cooking show. We'll do that. We'll cook it.
Speaking of Logan, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy really fast.
Okay.
Again, we don't want to give any spoilers, but you can watch the trailer, and that's okay. So, what did you guys think? Like, first of all, did you need it? I mean, we're already going to go see it.
Yeah, I almost didn't watch it.
I did not need this trailer.
Yeah?
I actually didn't. And there's actually a part of the trailer that I kind of wish that I hadn't seen.
Which part?
It's the part where you have Gamora dancing with Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Because
that messes
up
a first trailer joke.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The first part where it's like Drax is like, some people are dancers and some are not. You know?
Clearly in the third act, the dance.
Yeah.
Or maybe not the first act. Maybe it's a little bit earlier on. You don't know.
Yeah. But I think it's super cute, you know, and everything. Yeah. But I didn't need it. They already got me. Yeah. They already made the sell as far as I'm concerned.
Here's what I like that they did. They teased Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good button.
I don't think we should see any more than that. I do not want to see any more trailers beyond this.
Well, this is trailer 3. Now they usually go to TV spots.
Sure.
It comes out in May. It is now March. So between now and May, I think it's just going to be TV spots, which I usually avoid personally.
Yeah.
So I'm probably going to keep avoiding. This was enough.
Here's what I think it'll be. It'll be TV spots. We'll probably get like 37 of those.
Mm-hmm. Give or take.
The last 17 will spoil everything.
And the last 2 weeks leading up, we will probably get like 2 or 3 clips.
Mm-hmm.
I won't. I probably won't watch any of them.
And I guarantee you the last week they'll show us what Ego looks like in a clip and I'll refuse to see it.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Like, they have to start selling their toys. So henceforth, this is now, we're Marvel movie news blackout. After this, we're good.
After this, we're A-okay. Go ahead and, you know, you watch it. That's awesome. Yeah. Don't tweet it to us. That'd be nice for that. But, I'm good, and I can't wait to see it.
And the tone of the trailer was incredible, that it had, like, this beautiful three-act escalation. It opened with, like, you know, your reminder why you love this universe. Second act was a little bit of story. The third act has been how the first couple trailers have been, like, character, 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 and then button at the end. So I liked the structure of the trailer, and I liked the music use, because it's James Gunn. That man is a if Blue Apron is culinary genius, this man is orchestral genius.
Wow, let me bring it back.
There it is. Yeah. So I love that he uses music as a character, and I love that his music is, like, it's so unique to the time.
Yes.
Like, he's got a very specific flavor and brand, and this trailer felt like Guntastic.
Guntastic.
Yeah. Speaking of which, with he's holding that huge...
I'm your dad, Peter.
Boom.
Now, I will say this is the more traditional of the trailers that we've seen.
100%.
Yes.
Like, everything else has been like, ooh, a little shrouded in mystery. You don't fully know. It's all... Yeah, yeah. That clip was so great. And if they had just released that as the trailer, I would have stood and applauded every single day now until... I'd be like, remember that time? That was great.
2 minutes slurping scene. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Like, dude.
Sadly, I think James Gunn has confirmed that that's probably not in the movie. We also got a new poster to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Steven is showing it right now, but there it is. There. Yay, boop. It looks like a cross between, like, David Bowie and, like, what am I thinking? Like, Boston?
Yeah, it's very neon colored.
I love it.
It's very expressive. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Doctor Strange movie poster that you got before because of the circular and there's everybody involved. And the inside.
And I love that it looks like a band poster, like you were saying, but it is like as time has progressed from their first poster, which was like the Ramones poster.
Yeah.
Like, we had the late 80s pop punk, and now we're evolving into the early 90s, late 80s pop rock flavor poster.
And depending, that circular thing in the background might be Ego. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
I want to point out a few different points from the trailer. I don't know if we have the screenshots of them or not. Did we see Ego?
Well,
the planet?
The planet.
I don't think so.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't believe that
hyper colorful plane with all the weird bubbles floating on it?
Do you think that they're battling on Ego then?
I think that they go to Ego.
Ooh.
Interesting. I never thought about that.
I'm forming this trailer gave me some theories.
Okay.
Gave me some plot.
Yes, let's theorize.
I think early on they're fighting this Abelisk thing. It comes out, lands on this thing. It's trying to suck the batteries out for that. Yeah, right there. On the sovereign planet, that's their energy source. They need the Guardians to help with it. they offer Nebula in return. Like, that's what they get. Like, so when you see her brought out.
Yeah, she's
pull the hood off of her, whatever. Right. So I think that's what you see there. Gamora's like, oh, we got you. We're going to take you back to Xandar where we can watch you and make sure you're safe. I think they leave. They've done something. They steal something. Something happened where the Sovereign are now after them. So mm-hmm. they get away from them. They land on a planet where the Ravagers find them, or Ravagers are already there.
Right.
Now the Ravagers are chasing them. The Ravagers kidnap, I think, Groot and Rocket.
Okay.
That's where Yondu comes into it.
And then he frees them?
They help free each other because they mutiny against him because he went soft on Quill. Like, that's everything that's been said.
Because there was no Terran to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
We won't eat no Terran. So that all happens. I think as the Guardians are being chased by the Sovereigns and the Ravagers, Ego finds them. And I think this happens on relatively early in the film. I think this probably happens within the first act.
Okay.
So, Ego finds them, and he's like, well, I can offer you sanctuary on me.
And wow, they're like, what? So
and
he's weird.
Like, brrr, and they fly away, and they land on Ego. And then Ego literally is like their safe haven. Because that planet, like, he can grow whatever he needs. He can magnetic spheres, whatever else, you know, like, he can
eat intruders.
Yeah, but here's the rub. I think Ego may actually be bad. Ooh. I don't know why. I get the feeling.
I kind of hope he is.
I get the feeling that he may actually be the secret bad guy. Okay. That's right. And I have no reason. I have no reason
These
to think that.
These are all theories, so there's no spoiler.
This
whatever.
Is all theory, but all like, theory. And thinking about like just from a narrative perspective, how awful that would be. Like, you finally find your dad, and he's. He's a bad guy?
That Yondu, kind of like your stepdad figure, is a better person than your actual dad.
Oh. Plus, like, if he is their dad, if he is the dad, and they can go to Ego, they're pretty much safe.
Right.
Like, no one can get to them on Ego. Like, it's gonna be very difficult for any other, like, because he can reverse his magnetic sphere and not let you in. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So the rub would have to be he's a bad guy.
So I think they get there and they're like, we're nice and safe. Oh, this, like, and you see them like, look at the bubbles. This is so nice. Like, I think he's like a siren. He's like, look at how pretty I am. Come to my shores. Crash. So... Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like that theory.
It's just a theory.
Daddy
I don't know.
Issues are so much more interesting anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And double daddy issues with Yondu and him.
Exactly.
Poor Quill.
Father.
Poor Quill. Yeah. And I think that's why the only villains that we've heard about so far are the Sovereign and the Ravagers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that they are bad guys, but I think they all become good guys when they all realize
it. Less than 8 weeks.
Oh, it's so loose.
It's getting there.
It's a good year. All right. It's a good year, guys.
Logan! It was great. That's been our show. Thank you for joining us.
We love our viewers. It was a good time.
It was great.
Bye. Should we be
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Should we show the clip and then dive in?
What clip?
The ADR clip
to get us hyped.
Sure. Oh my gosh.
Let's quickly show the clip.
I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, we're gonna take the spoiler alert off.
This is what introing, so when you watch the show, you know where Logan starts. It starts with you.
Okay. This isn't a spoiler. This is on Twitter. This is... That was Hugh Jackman doing ADR.
Hugh Jackman
is
Wolverine.
For
Logan. No one else can play Wolverine.
Yeah, I've spoken
spoiler
enough.
Spoiler alert,
Markia. I want you to tell me your opinions on Logan.
Oh, okay.
Go.
All right.
I want you to start.
Okay, great. So with Logan, I'm glad that it wasn't Old Man Logan. I mean, I know that we were theorizing for like a while. It is not Old Man Logan at all. It's like basically the only thing that they have in common is, you know, that mutants aren't around as plentiful anymore, and Professor X is so old, and Logan is so broken. For this, I absolutely adored this movie because it crosses genres, that it is what superhero movies have evolved or mutated into.
Ah.
Exactly.
Either word works.
Yeah.
Both are good verbs.
It's a Western. It's a Western. There is an aging gunslinger. that's putting on his spurs to go off into the final battle mm-hmm. to not only battle, but to find himself and also find redemption. Mm-hmm. And that is what this movie gives you. And it was so excellent. And then Patrick Stewart's, what he did with Professor X, I mean, obviously we've had Professor X for, what is it, 9 movies now?
Yeah. Yeah.
And not necessarily him for each time, sure. keeping in mind. But for what he brought to it, where it was that he had, a degenerative brain disease. He has a type of Alzheimer's. And
so,
he's just...
like, it's immediately sad.
Yes. The vulnerability, yet the snarky side eye, and, you know, he'll talk out the side of his mouth to Logan... It made him such a real character, mm-hmm. and it made me hurt inside because I'm like, I don't want to experience this in real life. Mm-hmm. That's how real it was to me.
Yeah.
That together with Laura punching Logan in the face when he wouldn't like pay attention to her, uh-huh. wouldn't give her what she needed. I love that dynamic, that father lost daughter type mm-hmm. of thing. And I've seen it 3 times now.
Whoa! I've only seen it the one time.
Seen it 3 times. I thoroughly enjoy.
Coy?
I liked it so much that I don't want... I've said before that I don't want the X-Men to go back to Marvel unless it's under the right circumstance. I now don't want the X-Men to go back to Marvel. I loved it in a way that I think that Marvel has a... This is very controversial for this show. I think Marvel has a series of B pluses and A minuses. I think that Fox has the 2 of the 3 A pluses. I think that this movie was the most Logan that any movie could possibly be because Hugh Jackman had played and invested in this character for 18 years. And I don't know that Marvel could allow the freedom that this did. This didn't have... it had shared universe elements, but it wasn't a movie built within a framework of other things. This movie got to live on its own. This movie got to be more than the sum of its parts. It was a movie that didn't have to be a superhero film, like you were saying. It was a movie that got to be a movie featuring... characters we already knew. Mm-hmm. It was almost a book adaptation. It mm-hmm. wasn't something that we had to really experience the comics to appreciate. It's something we had to experience the world of pop culture mediums we'd experienced Logan in. It trusted us, the audience, to know Logan enough that it didn't have to have all the elements that other comic movies have had. Mm-hmm. It was a Western. It was a movie that had familiar characters and familiar elements, but stuff that was tonally so much more important than comic. Allows usually to do. It was a movie about like laying your guns down, about fathers and sons, about fathers and daughters, about borders, about like characters and their importance within a story. It was a movie that like transcended not just the medium, but transcended movies. Like mm-hmm. this movie allowed us to feel, and we didn't have to know anything going into it. And comic movies, their biggest failure, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. 4-2 is that they are a prequel, sequel, reboot all at once. This movie was not. It was its own animal, and it lived and breathed Logan. And the acting was second to none. The scene where he's having a nightmare, name one other actor that a guy can have a feral dream and be roaring and scratching his bed and he doesn't look dumb. Mm-hmm. Like, that was beautiful and perfect, and Charles, and like, everything we needed it to be, it was, and more, and it was the best of all the storylines it pulled from.
The nightmare scene that you're talking about was one that stuck out to me because it was like, he's like, Laura's watching him. Like, there's an element of like, you've helped me. Now there's this bit of like, you know, 3/4 through the movie sort of narrative reversal where I'm now watching you. Mm-hmm. I'm now slowly taking over the role that you've had for these last hour and a half, you know. And you're going to have your big moment at the end where you save it, whatever. But right now, this role is slowly starting to change hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she, like, in a very reassuring way, was like, I have nightmares too. Like, I'm always, like, what it was that she said? Like, I'm always saving someone, or I'm always,
she
like...
she said, people hurt me.
People hurt me.
Said, like, I hurt people.
And he goes, I hurt people. And it's just like, there was such, like... Oh, like you did, like you want her to continue, like you don't want her to be hurt, so you're sad for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're also sad that Logan has been made to be this weapon and has never known peace.
Right.
But it's those sorts of subtle layerings in that when you get to the end, and again, we've got the red light on because this is a super duper spoiler show. So if you haven't seen this, turn us off. Go watch. Do yourself a favor and go watch this movie. By the time you get to the end,
right,
and he's dying, and he says, that's what this feels like.
Yeah, when she's right there
and
next
she's
to
right
him.
There and she's crying and he's been tearing up and everything. Like, I was on Dan's Labyrinth yesterday over on Screen Junkies with Dan Merrill, and I never thought of this. I just assumed, like, he was talking about maybe, like, what it's like to die or, like, what it's like to have a family. He wasn't. I'm firmly convinced that what he was actually talking about was, this is what it's like to know peace. It's not, mm-hmm. this is what it's like to die, because dying, I think
he's died
I've never
so
done
many
it before,
times.
But he's died so many times. He's been hurt so many mm-hmm. times. He's yeah. been on a deathbed so many times.
I mean, he was 84 before they put the adamantium in,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, he's lived a life and lived two lives.
He's lived 250 years of looking over his shoulder, running away, stabbing people, being told who to go stab, fighting in every single freaking war.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, up there when he's sleeping.
Still, yeah. So he's never known peace, and that's all he's ever wanted, but I don't even think he really fully knew that until he was at the end of his life and he was able to save mutant kind, like sort of usher on, like, hey, you seven, eight, nine kids are mm-hmm. all that's left of the mutant race that we know of,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and you're alive because I was able to help save you. Go and live by my example, save each other, keep each other safe. But please, my God, don't be weapons. Don't let anyone else yeah. tell you that you have to be that. Like, so I feel like he had this weird moment of redemption and peace at the end of the movie. And I think it's that emotional state that he was referring to when he said, oh, that's what this feels like. Like, he had family. He had someone loving him, someone mm-hmm. watching over him, a daughter that he had just looked after and successfully saved. He had said goodbye to his father, basically, and Professor X.
Right.
Yeah, saying, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Yeah, he needed him to know.
There were so many
scenes
that were so, like, I expected to be upset. I expected to cry. I didn't expect multiple bouts of tears. I didn't expect to be a wreck. I knew I'd be upset, but, like, as soon as he was holding that shovel, that scene we'd seen so many times before, and, like, she held his hand, I was a puddle. Like, and then it just kept getting sadder. Yeah. And I want to clarify for the live chat, I'm not saying anything bad about Marvel. I love Marvel films. I love that they're interconnected. I just don't think that this movie could have existed because of their interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. I want them to be the popcorn blockbusters with hearts that they have. I just don't think this movie could have existed there. I'm not downplaying Marvel's glory.
It was too gritty and too real for what Marvel's established. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's
I want them to stay separate so we have both. It's beautiful to have both.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad that you brought that up because I watched this movie and walked one of the biggest takeaways that I had from this movie. This is the first time I've been nervous for Marvel Studios. Like, very first time.
Okay.
And here's
why.
Here's why. I didn't know that I wanted this movie.
Until it happened.
I didn't know that this movie was possible. And I never even conceived of this movie taking place or being a thing that I wanted or could be pulled off. And then they did it. It's a very mature, very adult. And I don't mean that in, like, a pejorative way. I mean that
it fit the rating.
It's grounded. Mm-hmm. It's real. Like, I believe, like, oh my God, mutants are real in this movie. Like, I felt the weight.
And they're
and
terrifying. I want them registered. I want them registered and away from my children.
You have a little girl being carried to a car with hooks in her back. Like, that's just...
Yeah.
Like, the fact that that is in cinema.
She got harpooned, and I was like, I felt that. And, and that opening... Worth noting, that opening scene when they establish, like, the opening of La La Land, where you see the song and dance, you're like, oh, I'm here.
I know what this is.
The opening scene of Logan.
There was another song and dance.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, the opening song number in Logan really set my bar.
Totally.
No, but the opening fight in Logan, I knew from the trailers the tone of the movie would be heart-wrenching. I didn't know it would have the best superhero fights I'd ever seen. I didn't know it was going to be Daredevil's hallway fight scene for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, every fight was so brutal. Every, like, evisceration and, like, the Seymour Xavier is just ripping the apart. Like, that scene felt emotionally, spiritually, physically, like, you felt so many different versions of pain.
You felt like you couldn't breathe.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you saw it and you saw how it affected everybody else in the scene.
And that was the best use of like, I've always wanted to see him, like, climb a wall, like, in an animated series. I got that ish, but I didn't know it'd make me sad.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Brittany actually said, my wife, Brittany, as we were leaving, one of the things she pointed out, and I hadn't even thought about this, but she said, that's the first time I have felt Xavier's power and been afraid.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
mutants
I felt
are terrifying.
Like, she was like, I felt the weight of it. I felt what it could do. It was not comfortable, and I it made me feel so much worse.
It makes you realize how much X-Men movies have coddled you up until now. Where, and you know, I didn't really understand. I didn't really get their arduous journey of having these amazing powers, or should I say these awe-inspiring, and I don't mean that as an awesome, I mean that as in filled with awe, these awe-inspiring powers, and what it must take to control them.
The pain these people feel, the pain the mutants feel, the agony of being in a world as a human, seeing mutants, and the agony of being a mutant in a world seeing humans.
And like having that fear. And you could feel like that sort of like otherness, that like, we are apart from you, but we want so badly to belong. Like, you could feel like that, you know? And, like, we're not even talking about, like, Xander Rice or Boyd Holbrook. I love Boyd Holbrook as Donald Pierce, but, like, everything, like, the villains were so overshadowed by...
You didn't need them to be as big as they are in other films, because the villain is humanity. It's man against self and man against nature and man against man. It's the classic storytelling. It doesn't have to have no space holes or anything close.
No space holes.
No space holes. Like, it's just a movie.
And in this, humanity's already won. You know? Humanity's won.
That's the thing. We had a caller call in yesterday on Dan's show and asked about like the civil rights issues and why we didn't really address that. And I was like, you know, I actually hadn't thought about that. But as we talked about it, I realized like the civil rights issue in this movie is that the bad guys won.
Humanity's the bad guys.
Civil rights don't matter anymore because the bad guys won. Like, the mutants are gone. We got rid of them. We found a way. And the way that we got rid of them was a very nuanced, very subtle, very sinister, very
terrifying,
dark, and like, are they actually doing that now kind of way? It's just like...
Yeah, we know how weird our mess
is. So devious.
When you think of all the bad guys up to the point of Xander Rice and how they were trying to exterminate, you know, the X-Menace.
The X-Menace, nice. Well done.
Yes, thank you. I'm filled with them. Oh, my God. And then he does it through gene blockers in
corn syrup.
In corn syrup.
Yeah.
He kills mutants with soda.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. That can work. Actually, that can work, and God knows if they're not doing it right now.
Yeah.
You know, what do they say? To say with a Mel Gibson movie, conspiracy theory, fluoride in the water.
Wow. Good pull.
I mean, I feel like we need to keep the studios trusting in us as a consumer. We need to keep If we want to continue the bubble not bursting, Deadpool was the most Deadpool a Deadpool can Deadpool. And Logan was the best Logan movie we could have gotten. I want Guardians to stay separate from the Avengers for the most part. I want the Avengers films to lead up to each other so we have that blockbuster feel. I want Captain Marvel to be our Superman.
Yeah.
I want these things, but I think we need to, with our wallets, tell them that the adult superhero movies are separate. I don't want everything to suddenly go rated R.
Yeah.
I don't want someone to see this and be like, oh, Speed did well, Speed 2, and then have everything be Speed, because that happened.
Yeah.
We don't want every superhero movie to suddenly be rated R. I'm not saying that everything needs to be this dark and gritty, because every character doesn't suit this. What I want is the studios to see that we care about the characters more than we care about space holes.
All right, we got to start wrapping it up. I'm so sorry. Marquio, closing thoughts.
I'll give you some more time.
Great. We'll still try to wrap out of here in 5 minutes. Markia.
Okay, yeah. With what I was kind of saying earlier, because now that this movie exists, like it's out there. Mm-hmm. There's no stopping it now.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't want them to go 90s with everything.
Right.
Where it's like the 90s were a hell of a drug, but they're over. So let's learn from the 90s and not have everything be like R-rated or not have where it has to be uber violent. For instance, going back to the Storm movie, I'm just like overexcited. Going back to the possible Storm movie, I don't think that's a PG-13 movie. I think it could work as one.
Mm-hmm.
I'd prefer it as an R-rated, or like Dark Phoenix, for example, which, you know, they're going to do eventually. That I want to be an R-rated movie.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want that to be PG or PG-13. It's like, take the dive with it. And I think they've gotten to the point where maybe they're okay with taking the dive with that. But they need to. They have to have this destroyer, but also have it where she's broken. She's broken and she's not herself. And I want to have an actress that has, you know, those moments where it's like, yes, it's Jean Grey. Oh, no, wait. It's this alien freaking... I'm not going to... I'm close to cussing now. Force that cannot be contained, and there is only one way to put this thing down. you know, that kind of thing. And you can only do that with an R rating.
And on the flip side, I want like a PG, maybe PG-13 Fantastic Four that's about family, but it's about characters. And I want a John Hughes PG-13 Spider-Man. I don't need everything to be, it's the only way we're going to survive
Mallrats with
bursting.
Jubilee.
My God. The only way we're going to do this is the diversity this movie showed us we need. I agree with Matt. I didn't know how much I needed this movie until I got it. Like, I knew how much I needed Deadpool. This was a genre I didn't expect to feel so invested in instantly. Yeah. And we're not gonna get that unless we, the fact that it's making all this money and cost nothing is a great sign that this is gonna move forward in the right direction.
Domestically, I think it hit $100 million today.
It's already profiting. Yeah. That's amazing. And how good for Hugh Jackman to step away at the height of the game.
It's already recouped as negative in the opening weekend worldwide.
So perfect. And next weekend, by the way, a lot of people in the live chat, we'll talk about that Deadpool teaser next week. Because obviously
we're like,
that could be the whole show for me. Yeah. But I think that we now see that Fox, when it invests in the creators and the artists in it, full credit, Fox, thank you. Yeah. Because this was perfect.
So going back to, didn't know we needed this movie, didn't know I would love this movie, didn't know I wanted more of this kind of movie, James Mangold has said, and I think it was an interview with Variety maybe, he said he didn't want to do a movie about events, he wanted to do a movie about characters, which is why we don't know what happened in Westchester. We don't know what happened there, because that's an event. Mm-hmm. What we need to see, what Mangold's goal with this was, to show the emotional weight and effect that it had on those characters. All we need to know is that something bad happened. It was Charles Xavier's fault.
It's unspeakable.
It's an unspeakable horror. The world is terrified of him. And Logan is doing his best. One of his emotional beats is he's doing his best to protect Charles from the knowledge of what he's done.
Yeah. And at one point, Charles remembers right before he gets, and that was
he knows. Painful. Then he died looking in Wolverine's face, which is why, like, when Logan's carrying him, it wasn't me, Charles. So I was like, oh, good.
The beautiful scene of, like, I at first didn't like X-24. At first, I was like, what a strange move. I wanted Dokken or Sabretooth. I wanted one of those two actual, and I'd prefer Sabretooth to Dokken. But I at the end, when he destroys himself and all of his rage, it gave me that beautiful man versus man classic literature of he destroyed his feralness, his darkness, his evil. Like, I loved the closure Hugh Jackman got.
Yeah.
So, it's cathartic.
So going along with, like, I want to just, like, circle back to the point.
Sorry.
No. I like everything you're saying. I just want to finish my point real quick. And then we need to hit social and get out. I did not know you could do a character movie. I didn't know that we were missing character movies. Like, I see Guardians, and I'm like, I love those characters. That's a lot of fun. Those aren't character movies. Those are event movies where the characters are well-defined, but they're going through these events. Like, the events are guiding them. I did not know you could do a superhero movie in this capacity, and now my fear for Marvel is that the audience's tastes are going to change, and they will not be able to match those tastes, because... Yeah. The biggest strength that they've had, we've talked about on our show a lot of times, kind of what they have, not necessarily like over DC, but like DC feels like they're very much playing catch up with Marvel's cinematic universe. Now Fox is saying, screw cinematic universes. We just made $200 million in a weekend with a character-based Wolverine movie. Right. Not connected to anything except for the fact that Professor X is in it. You kind of get the weight of those past films.
And we've had dialogue referencing. That's it. That's it.
Yeah, and Professor X might have killed the X-Men. The other X-Men, with the seven casualties.
Yeah. That's my fear going in. I don't want that to be true. I don't think it will be true. But it really is the question of, like, has audience taste changed, or has it always been there?
I think it's been this missing void that we didn't even know.
Didn't even know.
Because DC's great at gritty and rough and, you know, but maybe not so much as embracing joy, you know, with balancing out with story. And then Marvel's great at story and joy and, hey, look at this spectacular thing and fun and comedy, but not so great at the gritty
and
stuff.
And I need Guardians after that movie. Like, when I look at a Logan, if I leave those, I need to go home and watch something lighter. Sure. I need that.
Absolutely, certainly. Everyone loves, like, I love chocolate and I love vanilla and I love strawberry.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
I absolutely get all of that. But my fear is that, like, is that going to start taking away from Marvel's critical success? Is that going to take away from their box office success? Now that we have a new word in our vernacular that is, oh my God, Logan, and now we're going to go watch the Marvel movies, are we going to be like, oh, that was cute, that was fun?
I guess we won't know until we see Guardians. Until we see Guardians.
Good thing it's Guardians. I think that movie looks perfect otherwise. But no, I think the Netflix universe showed us we could have simultaneous cinematic light and Netflix dark. And Logan has showed us we can have simultaneous character and event movies. So, more.
And like Koi said earlier, I'm not saying anything bad about Marvel. I love Marvel.
Obviously,
we love Marvel. I love DC.
Yeah.
I love DC. Yeah. Like, I want them to get those movies right. I know that they're trying really hard to get them right. They think they're getting them right. They're not messing up on purpose. Like, you know?
And I'm not going to... This is not a spoiler, I'm not even going to reference the conversation, but I got to meet Zack Snyder this week. Coolest, nicest guy in the world, and he's awesome. So, I just thought everyone should know watching Marvel that Zack Snyder is awesome.
Hearing you talk about it, I'm like, maybe I should go back and watch
it. We had a full-on long conversation, and I was like, I think I kind of like Man of Steel more. I'm going to go watch. Like, he's a really good dude. So, like, there is no, at Marvel, at this room, there is no DC bias. It's just, this is a Marvel Movie News show.
Yeah, it's Marvel Movie News, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that Logan is going to show movies, not just comic movies, movies how it's done. That's how good it was.
Yeah.
I want to throw something in here, too.
Yes.
And I think what you're saying with the other films and, oh, is it going to be just like, oh, but we have Logan, so is this just as good? I think what this movie proved is that the villains are not the most important part of the story.
Yeah.
And then, like, when you look at Price and you look at all these people who should be the main villain, ooh, ha, 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 their deaths are kind of overshadowed. I mean, Logan just pulls out a pistol, shoots the guy's head off, and then you look at the doctor. Yeah, the kids killed him, but that was, like, not the characters that he messed with the whole movie. You gave it to the characters what he interacted with their entire lives. And then you look at Apocalypse... which was just, let's build up this villain to the point of, my God, this guy's evil, this guy's evil. When he's just sitting in the desert doing nothing but hanging out with his friends for an hour and a half. So it made the focus more on Logan's internal struggle as opposed to building up this character that we don't really care about and saying, he's all powerful, let's work together to defeat him.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. And like again, like going back to the villains, you felt the weight of... like Donald Pierce, like you felt how powerful he was, you felt his hate and prejudice, like, and that, like, that was almost as bad as the fact that he barely even used a cybernetic arm.
Yeah. Was so cool,
and he was oh my god,
at one point he just flipped his hand back and forth, and I was like, I want a cybernetic arm,
went backwards. Not even Terminator did that,
so cool. There were so many Terminator moments where I was like, this movie's our Terminator,
and then Xander Rice was just so devious and evil, and
it didn't seem like he was, you know, it didn't seem like he was evil, he was just trying to get rid of a problem, you know,
and he killed his dad. Like you understood every single character's backstory and why they were doing everything they were doing, and nobody had that much screen time. Like, Charles and Logan had the screen time,
and that's
these
all you
guys,
needed.
They just did.
That's all you needed. All right, we need to get to social because we need to wrap out. Okay. Do we have anything on YouTube?
Oh, so are we gonna do spoiler
and
off?
Spoilers?
Spoiler off.
Spoiler off.
Skirrow.
Deadpool next week.
Yeah, Deadpool next week. Oliver, is there anything we need to talk about on Twitter or on YouTube? Koi, that goes for you as well.
I just want to shout out Aaron Wilkerson. I did not catch you. I was trying to make the same show of movie with you, and I did not catch you, but I wanted to give you a shout out here, and I hope you loved Logan.
And a birthday shout out to Dustin Catalan. Your birthday's on the 16th. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, there was a Dustin.
And thank you for everyone who sent us Logan pictures. And in particular, we have, there were a lot of awesome Logan pictures and tickets. In particular, Joey sent us. It's like he had a little Logan figurine, and he had a series that he sent us of like Logan in different locations. So like Logan on a bike, Logan next to a cactus looking fierce.
Good. I love it.
Claws extended, you know.
Good work, Joey.
Yeah. And then Logan on his bike going through the wilderness, you know, doing his Logan stuff.
That I think might be my favorite, like him in like the, like a little creek bed it looks like almost.
Yeah, really appreciate that.
Solid work, Joey.
And then Ricky, thanks for the compliments. He loves the diversity of the show, that we have an authentic appreciation for our comic book properties and we have valid point of views.
Yeah, I saw that. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. And he says 120 episodes already helps prove racial gender upbringings, etc., can all coexist and do an amazing job each week.
Ricky.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
That is awesome. That makes me feel really good. Thank you.
Yeah. And
we really try. And that is that's like, I don't want to cut you off. Please.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
It is important to recognize that comic books, like, there is no difference. Like, you know, gay, straight, black, brown, white, male, female, we all can love comic books. Like,
and
we
do.
And we do.
And we do.
And I don't know. Thank you. Thank you. We really do try very hard to prove that point every single week.
Yeah,
so thank
you. We know that representation matters, and we try to keep that in mind when we're doing everything here, when we read ourselves. So, that's it for social.
I want to briefly say, only because of the live chat, anyone watching this not live, later on in the future, we didn't have much time to talk about... we talked about MCU as a kind of negative... It wasn't meant negatively. I was only clarifying that we want as much difference and diversity. Marvel is perfect. Thank everything Marvel's ever done. The MCU is gold. It's just this allowed us to see a new perspective. It's like when you go your whole life without ever eating something and you eat something new, you're like, oh, that is a thing I also enjoy. Yeah. Marvel's great. We love them. This is all positivity. It's just more.
Yeah, there's a concept called forever learning. And it's just that you are constantly revitalizing yourself. Yep. You're constantly doing better. That's all that we're saying.
Yeah, so
That's awesome.
I just think we should give Fox the credit that it's due, and that does not denigrate Marvel. Two things can not both at be all. A's.
Yes. Like, you don't have to compliment one thing that doesn't mean the other thing's, like, worse. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I like both vanilla and chocolate, as Matt said.
Yeah. So, yes. Oliver, anyone else on the YouTube chat?
Shout out to Bad Wolf 11 for your birthday this Friday.
Bad Wolf 11, happy birthday!
Yay, happy birthday!
The 25th, my bad.
Oh, the 25th. That's
Hey, happy
birthday. Happy birthday.
We'll give you a happy birthday next week. Just keep reminding us. Is that it?
iTunes, we have one very funny one. iTunes, we had... minimizing. Let's see. The WTB Punisher said, we know how to deliver an outstanding show every week, just like Punisher knows how to deliver punishment. You guys have great chemistry and your insight and knowledge in the Marvel Universe. Matt is Mr. Information. Coy brings it like no other. And Marquia simply rocks. Outstanding.
Nice.
Thank you.
I'll take it.
I love the specificity and all of the love.
Birthday shout out to Lo Rosario. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Lo Rosario. Lo Rosario. Having a birthday, ba-doo-ba-doo-boo.
A singing birthday wish. Can the new sexy show be Matt's singing birthday?
Matt's singing birthday? Yeah, I feel so bad for Brittany because I do that around the house all the time. Like, I'll just be walking around the house
and
be like, I'll be like, turning the TV on, ba-doo-ba-doo-doo, with my cats. Yeah,
it
like
you're happy.
Yeah. Or trying to be. That got dark.
They're trying to cash to close us out. We try to bring it back up from Logan's darkness. Before the show ended, I want to say before we go, in case it's announced this week, for some reason, if they announce Cable, I would love, after the theory I had, after they showed, now they in the background of the Deadpool thing was Firefly, and many think it might be Marina Bakarin, because she is obviously in the Deadpool, and that is the love, but it said Nathan Summers is coming on the side of that.
It did say that.
How amazing would Nathan Fillion be as Cable?
And I would also like to point out, Hope was written in the phone booth. Oh my god, I want Cable to
and
have a little time-traveling baby.
Just a scene. He, like, time-travels back. Yeah. Like,
we'll talk about that next week.
Next week.
Did you also see Augie was here?
Wait, what?
What?
One of the graffiti said Augie was here.
We have so much to talk about.
We'll talk about it next week. Yes,
you're
can find
McCarty.
I'm Markeia McCarty. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MarkeiaMccarty or Snapchat Dark Thin Mints.
I'm Court Jandro at CoyJandreo on Instagram and Twitter, and I love Logan and Marvel.
Oliver,
Ollie Dreamer at Ollie Dreamer. I'm gonna be crying all night when I see Logan again. So yeah,
I'm Matt Key at the Matt Key on Twitter. You can also see me on the Wednesday Club over on Twitch and the Geek and Sundry's Twitch, and I'm on Screen Junkies from time to time in the mornings. And we'll see you next week. Skip it up. No shalom.
Then the father hen will call his chicken.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners and principals.
Unjust still, whoever is righteous.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.